with another Shir in Chassidus, and this week, which is the week of Lag BaOmer, I'll discuss the Lag BaOmer day and the events of Lag BaOmer as approached by the Shem Shmuel. I'll be working with Shem Shmuel's Haggadah, page Kuf Lamed, and also Shem Shmuel's Sefer Vayikra, Pashas Emor, pages Shin Beis and Shin Vav. And Ashir is dedicated to the memory of Rochelei Abbas of Chaim Tzvi, Olei Shalom. Now, the events of Lag BaOmer, Mishem Shmuel, interestingly enough, does not approach it as most people do from the perspective of the Halula, or the ascent of the Tanner of Shimon Bar Yochai to heaven. He's approaching it from the perspective of the 24,000 students of Rebbe Akiva who died between Pesach and Shavuos, and apparently in Lag BaOmer that epidemic stopped. So this is straight Shulchan Aruch. Usually Shem Shmuel follows Shulchan Aruch because he and his father were Gedolei Hador and Halacha. So their Chassidus is very much tailored to follow the Halacha of you. And the Halacha of you of Sfiras Omer has nothing to do with Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. That's the Zohar and Kabbalistic perspective. According to Halacha, Lag BaOmer, the 33rd day of the count, which is a sort of a holiday, a folk holiday, is because the 24,000 students of Rebbe Akiva who passed away from between Pesach and Shavuos, that epidemic, that plague, stopped on Lag BaOmer. Now, Shem Shmuel wants to explain, first of all, what was the cause of the plague, and why did it stop at that particular point, what are the lessons that we can learn for ourselves. The Gemara says that the 24,000 students passed away during this period. They did not give one another sufficient honor. And the Shem Shmuel has two approaches to the this point that they did not give sufficient honor to one another. It's somewhat strange, because, of course, one is supposed to honor other people, and Talmid HaChachamim deserve honor, a special mitzvah, and it's expected that one Talmud Chacham will give honor to another Talmud Chacham, and these students of Rebbe Akiva, of course, were great Talmid HaChachamim. So, but still, that punishment is quite severe, that they should die in a plague. And we have to really understand where this comes from, this weakness of not giving honor to one another. So the Shem Shmuel has two approaches to this. One approach, almost the two approaches are almost diametrically opposite. One approach is that there was a certain amount of self-centeredness that these Talmidim had. And we have to understand, of course, that these were great Talmid HaChachamim. And when we say that they were self-centered in some way, or a little bit selfish, a little bit insensitive to one another, it's at that level. Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, is medagdek with tzaddik and kachut ha-saira. The greater a person, in terms of his spiritual level, the more is expected of him. And you and I, in our everyday lives, that's how we also look at rabbis, Torah scholars. We expect better from them than we would of the masses. And This is a reflection of the Ribono Shel Olam, the Almighty Himself, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Medagdek, the Talmid HaChachamim, the Tzadikim, Kechut HaSa'ara. He's so exacting that on their level, more is expected of them. So this is true, of course, of the Talmidim of Rebbe Akiva. I imagine that if you and I would have seen them and compare them to ourselves, we'd say, wow, these people have tremendous degree of respect and dignity for one another. However, the Ribono Shel Olam knows on that level what's to be expected, and he saw that it wasn't the right level. And this had to do with a certain amount of self-centeredness. Now, my dear friends, we know that the Torah was given to Am Yisrael. And the Torah was given in two forms. It was given in the Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebalpeh. There's a written Torah, exact words which Hashem dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu. And then there's the Torah Shebalpeh, the independent, free-flowing discussions of the Torah scholars, trying to analyze and trying to understand the laws of the Torah, the Psukim. And this is almost an infinite ocean of wisdom and of study. And part and parcel of, there's a very major difference between the Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebalpeh, in this sense. The Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah, is a limited book or a series of books. And the words are countable. We know exactly how many words are in the Sefer Torah. No more, no less. If it's missing one letter, it's pasul. If it has an extra letter, it's also pasul, disqualifying. The Torah Shebalpeh is very different. The Torah Shebalpeh, that is completely free in the sense that the individual is free to think, free to say what he wants, and to advance ideas. In fact, the Torah Shebalpeh, that area of chidush, of original thinking, is very precious. According to many of Jewish philosophers, the chidush in the many sources, when an original or an original insight or some new conceptual breakthrough is advanced by a Torah scholar, it's a wonderful thing. All of heaven is enthralled and full of joy when a Torah scholar advances some new concept. Of course, this is all within the context and the framework of traditional Torah scholarship. But the chiddush is something, this original idea, this breakthrough is something very special. In a certain sense, it's a form of Ruach HaKodesh, I would say. It's a form of divine inspiration. My great Rebbe, Rabbi Soloveitchik, the Rav Zitzal, used to always say he was the greatest, in my opinion, and many others, the greatest Machadesh, the greatest original thinker in Torah of his generation. And he said many times he felt that there was a divine inspiration. He felt that God's hand, he said, was on his shoulders. He could hear God breathing and whispering to him the idea and approving of his ideas. It's a chiddush is a kind of Ruach HaKodesh. But it's also, of course, a part of that individual's creation. Now, and the fact that the individual scholar is working on his own with the help of God to come up with this new chiddush, this new idea, can certainly, because it's such an individual product, could certainly lend to a certain amount of pride. It's very different than Torah Shebichsav. In the Torah Shebichsav, the written words are just what God gave us. So someone studies Torah Shebichsav, the written word of God, it's not going to necessarily in any way tempt him to become proud or egocentric. He's just reading what God said. But when he studies, and especially if he contributes to Torah Shebal Peh, to that oral law, which involves original thinking, and he is an original thinker, he could become, get a certain amount of pride, and he might also look down at others who can't think as well or as originally, as creatively as he does. And there's machlokas in Torah Shebal Peh. My original idea might conflict with your original idea. My understanding might conflict with your understanding. So there's machlokas. There's always constant and continuous battles and disputes among the Torah scholars, which also breeds, if it's not done properly and not done with restraint and with responsibility, could cause pride, could unleash selfish and or vested interest, where a person has to back his position because this is me, this is what I think, I can't really give in to you. So all of this could cause, unfortunately, not such wonderful character. And this is a challenge. There's a challenge which all the Torah scholars have to deal with and grapple with. To have that independent thinking, and at the same time, to cherish and value and respect every other person, especially every other Torah scholar. And it seems that at least this first approach of Shem Shmuel is that Rebbe Akiva's Talmidim, in their learning, they got so perhaps enthralled and dug their heels in and anchored in their positions that vis-a-vis others, they wouldn't budge, they wouldn't consider the other people's perhaps more valid or equally valid points of view. So Nogu Kovet Zeh B'Zeh. They didn't respect the other one's opinion in Torah, the other one's derech, the other one's way of serving Hashem. They thought, my way is the exclusive way, is the best way. And there's a thing in Torah, the Gemara says many times, Shivim Panim LeTorah, there are 70 ways. It means that Torah, because the Torah Shebal Peh, because of the fact that Hashem gives it to people, He gave it to people to think and develop and in a certain way become a part of that creative process of Torah Shebal Peh. So by its very nature, it's bound to have disputes, because Kashem Shepatzufeim Shonim Kachdeoseim Shonos, Chazal say. People have different faces, every person thinks differently, every person has his individual way of looking at things. So by its very nature, the fact that there's this freedom of thought in Torah Shebal Peh, it will cause machlokas, it will cause disputes. And when there's a machlokas, the emotion, even though it could be an intellectual machlokas, that's where it begins, but it very, very easily can fall into emotional machlokas. An emotional machlokas is poison. Machlokas l'shem shemaim means a good machlokas, a good dispute, a dispute which is heavenly ordained, heavenly sanctioned, which is channeled and directed towards heaven and for God's sake. This machlokas l'shem shemaim is really an intellectual machlokas. I see it one way, you see it the other way. But we can't let it get into emotional machlokas, emotional fighting. Emotions, it's going to be it could so easily turn into hatred, resentment. So the emotions have to be very much in check, very much controlled in machlokas. And maybe the students of Rebbe Akiva were so passionate about their own perspective individually, the way each one looked at something. And not just intellectually, but they put all their emotions into this, which in a certain way is good. You should be passionate about your ideas. It helps you formulate them better. It helps you perhaps sell them better because of that passion. And Torah is called Eish. It's a fire, shall have a skyar. It's God's flame. And so there should be passion in learning Torah. But it has to be in a responsible, controlled emotion. A fire, but not a fire out of control. A controlled fire. If there's a bit that it gets out of control, it can carry the emotions to the wrong direction. Not just have a passion, but develop an ego, a pride, a selfishness, God forbid, an anger against others because they don't agree with my position. And perhaps we can suggest that this was the flaw of the Talmidim of Rebbe Akiva. They studied Torah with their minds, and they studied Torah with their hearts, but for some, they didn't control that emotional fire, that vested interest in their position. So Nogu covered Zebzeh. They didn't get covered to another. They were so basically we can say like this, that every person really, every Jewish person for sure, has a double role. One role is to be a yachid, to be an individual. Me, where I think, the way I see it, my life, my service of Hashem is Barach, my good deeds, I'm an individual. There's also another level in which every Jew is supposed to function. That second level is the level of being part of a klal, part of the Am Yisrael, part of the Jewish people. In that sense, when we're part of Am Yisrael, when we function as part of the nation of Israel, we really have no individuality. We have no individual personality. We're part of the general group. As Rashi points out so beautifully from Chazal, when the Jewish people came to Sinai, so it says, Vayisu mer feed them, Vayavo midbar Sinai, Vayichan shom Yisrael neged ahar. They left to feed them. They came to the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there next to the mountain. And there's a switch in tense in the Pasuk from Vayisu, Vayavo, which is Lashon Rabim, which is plural, to Vayichan, which is Lashon Yochid, which is individual. The multitude, when the Jews were in Rephidim, there's a stop before Sinai, they were a multitude, they were a lot of individual people. And the fact is that in Rephidim there was a war against Amalek. And Amalek came to massacre, God forbid, Am Yisrael, the Jewish people. And the Jewish people united. They united in one group against Amalek. So they saw what it meant to be one nation. But then, when that passed, they again went back to their individuality. Vayisu mer feedim. Many... That was just a passing moment that is achdus to fight the war. But that passed, and vayavo, and even they traveled as individuals to Midbar Sinai. However, when they came to the house Sinai, and they knew that they were here to get the Torah, and the Torah was certainly given to the nation of Israel. Perhaps we'll soon see to what extent to the individuals also. But certainly, basically, there was a Matan Torah to Am Yisrael. It was given to Am Yisrael. As we say in the Pasuk, in the blessing of Asher Bocha Bonu, Mikol Ha'amim, V'nasan Lanu Es Torah. So God chose us from all nations to give us the Torah. HaBocha Ba'amo Yisrael. God chose Am Yisrael and gave us the Torah. Because Am Yisrael was Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahav. The Jews camped by the mountain. Ke'ish echot b'leiv echot. One man, one heart. It was a total hezachdus, a total fusion into one being. This was this was Matan Torah. So therefore, every Jew really functions as part of Am Yisrael. Ke'ish echot b'leiv echot. One person. And every Jew also has his individuality, his private role as a separate person. Of course, getting the Torah was a national event. But when the Jew puts on his tefillin, or eats his matzah, or puts a mezuzah on his house, or does kibbud av ve'em, gives honor to his parents, he's acting as an individual. It's a mitzvah yachid. And the Jew, man or woman, adult or child, has two roles. Yachid, tzibur. Individual and community. Now the Talmid of Rebbe Akiva, according to this first approach, because, as we said, they were so great in Torah Shebaal Peh, the study of Torah, and it's and especially the oral traditions and oral laws and the side of the Torah, which is the Koach of Chiddush, the Koach of the power to say something original. And they got this from Rebbe Akiva, because the Gemara says Rebbe Akiva was Doresh, he was able to have original thought in places that no one else ever imagined you could have such thoughts. In the tagim of the otiot, in the little lines and crowns which are attached, beautifications of the letters of the Torah, in every tag, in every little line, he had tile halachas. He had mounds and mounds of halachas. He was a great machadish, Rebbe Akiva, a great original thinker. And his students learned that from him. But the difference was that Rebbe Akiva knew that trick. He had the technique of how to be an original, creative, unique, incredibly productive, original thinker of Torah, but at the same time, not at all feel haughty, not at all take pride in this, not at all develop any kind of egoism, but to remain humble and remain simple so that you can connect with the rest of the Jewish people, ke'ish echad b'leiv echad. And the Shem Shmuel gives a beautiful mashal of that ish echad b'leiv echad, and he says, if you think about your own body, and your own body has many parts to it, the head and the eyes and the nose and the mouth and the ears and my chin, my teeth, my neck, my shoulders, chest, and my stomach and my legs, down to my tippy toes. It's one. It's one. I wouldn't give honor to my legs or special honor to my eyes. We're all one. It's one thing. Could my legs become haughty? Could my legs become egoistical because they walk and my eyes cannot walk? It's one integrated whole. So this is the way it's supposed to be with Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael is supposed to be one integrated whole. How can I be haughty? I'm just part of a unit. I'm nothing. I have no individuality to even begin the process of being haughty or having an ego. It's a completely, I'm batel, I'm completely nullified to the unit of Israel, to the ish echad b'leiv echad, that one entity, that one heart, that one being called Am Yisrael. Just like my legs and my eyes and my arms and my ears are all batel, all null and void to me, the goof, that one person who is me. So this was, of course, Rebbe Akiva knew how to do this, despite his amazing prowess as a creative individual creative thinker. He didn't at all take any credit for it. He said, this is how I function as part of Am Yisrael. So he was able to give cover to others. But unfortunately, these 24,000 students, something was missing. They couldn't exactly get it. They maybe heard about it. I'm sure Rebbe Akiva talked to them about this. Rebbe Akiva said, the great premise of the Torah is to love one Jew as yourself, which means Am Yisrael together. But the students didn't exactly get it. Or if they understood it, they weren't able to integrate it into their emotions and into their actions. We spoke about this in Pashas Emma, that there's a barrier. It's not sufficient to know and understand. One has to be able to bring it into the emotional, physical realm of one's being. And there's barriers. There are barriers. Since the time of Adam, when Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas, the evil barriers which break and prevent that transfer from the mind and the brain into the heart and into the action of the guf, of the body. This is what the problem of Rebbe Akiva's Talmidim was. The problem of yesh, of having too much of an ego, too much of a self-centeredness, too much pride. Now, he makes a point that the number 24,000 students of Rebbe Akiva remind us of another 24,000. There were 24,000 people, presumably from the tribe of Shimon, who died in a plague in the desert when there was a sort of rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu. There was a rebellion with the women of Moab, and an epidemic of intermarriage, and Moshe stood up against it, and there was a whole thing. It was Zimri ben Solu. So 24,000 people died from Shimon. So it says in the Zohar that these 24,000 souls from Shimon that died in that rebellion against Moshe concerning marrying the non-Jewish women of Moab, they became the 24,000 students of Rebbe Akiva. However, they died because they failed to fix their sin. The concept of Gilgal, of a recycling of the souls, says that the soul is sent back into the world to fix a certain flaw, a certain sin, failing, downfall, which had occurred on its first time in this world. And what was the major sin of those 24,000 people? They were rebelling against Moshe Rabbeinu. They thought they understood Torah better than he did. They may have also been Torah scholars, but they should have been nichna. They should have been subservient and accept Moshe Rabbeinu as the final authority. But they had a certain overwhelming pride, that a certain level of ego, of self-centeredness, of gaiva. And this gaiva, this self-centeredness, egged them on to foment a rebellion. It was primarily a rebellion in Torah against Moshe, because they said to Moshe, why can't we intermarry? Look, you married Zipporah. So I'm not going to go into the details of the argument, but they were arguing about the questions of halacha. They had the nerve to go against Moshe Rabbeinu, which means that they had too much yesh, too much self-centeredness, too much ego, which their Torah scholarship, unfortunately, helped foment within their breasts. So this was the same sin that the students of Rebbe Akiva had. The same exact sin, namely, overwhelming yesh, overwhelming individuality, overwhelming self-centeredness, and egoism, and pride, which killed the students of Akiva because they didn't give one another enough respect and honor, killed also this was the original deaths of the 24,000 people of Shimon who rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu in the desert. This was a sin. The sin was too much me, and not enough you, and certainly not enough us. This was the sin. And of course, Shem Yishmol points out that when there's a recycling of souls, as in this case, that the 24,000 dead people from Shimon came back to be the 24,000 students of Rebbe Akiva, and they're coming back for this very purpose, to be humble and give honor to one another. That's exactly why they came back, because that original sin against Moshe
they died unredeemed. And that was rebellion against Moshe, which is clearly, and of course, in the worst possible sin that a person or group can do, to rebel against Moshe, which is against the giving of the Torah of Hashem Yisbarach, of God Almighty. So, for sure, the recycling of those 24,000 people from Shimon who came back in the bodies of the students of Akiva, they were being tested. They definitely were being tested on that very point, because this was the reason that they were reborn, in order to fix this. Namely, the question of pride. And unfortunately, they failed. So he says, in general, when a person finds that he has a certain tendency, he or she, of course, a certain tendency for a certain sin, we should know that we're being, that this is exactly the sin, this is exactly the weakness which Hashem Yisbarach put us in this world to fix. The place where we have the greatest tava, the greatest impulses to do the wrong thing. Some people have an impulse to steal. Some people have an impulse for for women and for men, the sexual areas. Other people have impulses for anger and selfishness, pride, whatever it is. If a person has a certain point which he said, he or she say, this is my weak point. This is where I have temptations. I feel very strong urges. You should know, that's why Hashem put you in this world, to conquer those urges. And I repeat again something which we've said, I'm sure, before, that there's no such a thing that a person should have an area which Hashem gives them, whether it's a he or a she, to deal with in this world, and they shouldn't have the ability to conquer it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara says, Ein abo b'tshunyan b'yosa. He's not playing frustrating games with people. There are many things in this world which are challenging, and many things which lead sometimes to frustration, because we don't rise to the challenge. It doesn't mean we can't, we should. We have to. That's why we're here. In order not to submit to this particular challenge, which is so pervasive in our lives, so repetitive, that's exactly the challenge which Hashem Yisbarach wants us to deal with and to fix. And this was the challenge of the students of Rabbi Akiva. They had the souls of those 24,000, the people from Shimon, who rebelled against Moshe. That was overwhelming pride, self-centeredness, lack of respect for authority. And that's what the students of Rabbi Akiva, of course, in a much more refined way, not so gross like that original Shevet Shimon, who rebelled against Moshe, but in their own Torah, to have a certain level of humbleness, despite their prowess, despite their great Torah knowledge and sharpness. Okay, this is Pshat 1. And of course, we'll soon see about Lag BaOmer. Pshat 2 is the reverse. He says, he would just say the opposite Pshat, really. Certainly, the students of Akiva knew the Rebbe's teaching, the V'ahavta l'racha kamocha, zeh klal gadol b'Torah. The great lesson of Torah is to love another friend, another Jew. And they knew that. But they had a certain mistake. How in the world could you do V'ahavta l'racha kamocha? How in the world can one person love someone else like themselves? It's against basic instincts. We see babies, 1-year-old, 2-year-old, 3-year-old. Babies are so self-centered. They grab. So every person was a baby. Every person is born a baby. It means that at my very root, at my very beginning, I have this self-centeredness, this selfishness, this grabbing. Me, me, me. How are we supposed to overcome this when we get older, become more mature, more responsible? So the answer is, v'hav lecha kamocha. That person, that reya, is me, kamocha. Like we gave before the mashal, Shemesh Shmuel's famous mashal. How every limb in the body is part of that integrated single unit. Every limb in the body is part of that whole. And therefore, every limb in the body knows, it doesn't take pride in itself, because it's nothing but a piece of the whole. So the legs are not more proud than the eyes, and the eyes are not more proud than the legs, and so on and so forth. We're all part of one entity, one being. It's the same thing with Am Yisrael. If a hatrecha kamocha, zekhal gadol b'torah, the great message of the Torah is to love your Jew kamocha, like yourself. Which means he and I are one. She and I are one. We're not two, we're the same person. We're the same person. We're the same identity. And it is possible. It is possible, my dear friends, to develop this notion within us of complete lack of self-centeredness, total other-centeredness, others, to merge into ish echot b'leiv echot, like Rashi writes at Har Sinai, to merge into one person with Am Yisrael, to lose my identity with the national identity of Am Yisrael. That is possible. That's the kamocha. This is the hafta l'recha kamocha. You and that rei are one. So therefore, there is no pride. We are one. I do one thing, he does something else. I have a certain talent, she has another talent. And there's no such a thing, Shemesh Shmuel says, as there should be a person in the world that doesn't have one thing that they can do better than me. Maybe they can play an instrument and I can't. Maybe they can do some artwork and I can't. Maybe they have more patience than me. Maybe they have a better brain than me. Maybe they can do certain activities better than me. They can climb better, jump better, run better, carry things. They listen to orders better than me. There's so many things in this world. There's no such a thing, Shemesh Shmuel says. But you look at another Jew to say, oh, I'm superior in every aspect of life. It's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous idea to say such a thing. Every single person has some plus which he has over every other person in this world. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his infinite wisdom, did this. He gives every single neshama, every single soul, every single person in this universe, a plus over everybody else. And for that plus, for that one point, we give them honor. Because they are me, you're one. I give honor to my eyes, my honor to my legs. It's all the same. And that person has one aspect which they contribute to this world, which I cannot contribute as well as they can. And that makes them special. And that makes them and me one, and we share one another's talents. And this was the concept, the way the students of Rebbe Kiva understood the great Rebbe's teaching, V'hatu L'recha Kamocha. And that's why really they love one another so much that they fused into one entity, Ke'ish Echad B'Leiv Echad. And then they said there's no need to give others honor because there is no such a thing as an other. And there's no me, there's no other. We are all one thing. We're one entity called Am Yisrael. And as this entity, where are we giving honor to our parts? To parts of me? I'm going to honor my legs, honor my heart, honor my eyes, my mouth. It's all me. A person doesn't have to give honor to himself. He has to give honor to others. But there are no others. There is no others. There's only one. There's no me, there's no you, it's only one. Ish echad b'leiv echad. One being, one heart. That's why the Talmid Rebbe Akiva lo nagel covered zeh b'zeh. Because they didn't see there was a zeh b'zeh. They didn't see that there were two people here. Me and you. You and me. No, there's only us. Only us. That's why the Talmid Rebbe Akiva did not give covered zeh b'zeh. Says the Shemesh Shmuel, it's a wonderful concept. So why were they punished? That's such a beautiful idea. Why were they punished? The answer is that there's two dinim, there are two halachas, there are two concepts. There is such a concept, ish echad b'leiv echad, we're all one. But there's definitely also a concept that I am I and you are you. We are pratim. Every person is an individual. We're one, but we're also individual. We're also separate. It's a paradox, but that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world, in this paradox. So therefore, every person is a separate unit. Every person is a separate unit. Not just part of a klal, but also a prat. And I refer you back to a recent shiur where we spoke about the Chodesh Nisan, Chodesh Iyar, Chodesh Sivan. Nisan is klal. Tzias Mitzrayim, Jewish people. Iyar is prat. Each individual counts his own omer. Pesach Sheni, each individual brings his own korban Pesach. Iyar is a time in which very little is happening to Am Yisrael. The individual develops as a separate person. And then comes Sivan. And Sivan is the resolution of the klal and the prat. It's Matan Torah. And the Torah is given to Am Yisrael, but given to every individual of Israel as well. Because it says, by the giving of the Torah, that Moshe had his spot. And Aaron and his children had their spot. And Yeshua had his spot. Every single person was given a special place. Because he had given the Torah as an individual, not just part of Am Yisrael. Every single Jew gets Torah, not just Am Yisrael. Kedoshim Tiyu means every single Jew has a mitzvah of holiness. And my tefillin is my tefillin, and my matzah is my matzah, and my mezuzah is my mezuzah. It's me. It's my mitzvah. It's a prat, an individuality. There's a klal, and there's a prat. So therefore, says Shema Shmuel, of course, as one klal, one universal whole of Am Yisrael, it's no place for me to give honor to someone, or someone should give honor to me. We're one. However, we're also prat. We're also pratim. We're also individuals. I am I, you are you. At that level, I should give you honor. As an us, there's no reason for honor. As a we, there's no reason for honor. As an I and a you, there is. And that was their mistake. They lost sight of the I and the you. There were too much us, not enough I and you. And for this reason, they died. And the reason they died between Pesach and Shavuos is because of what we just said. Between Pesach and Shavuos, from Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, is the time of the year in which these concepts are developed. Nisan, Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Pesach of Am Yisrael, this is the time of the Klal Yisrael, of Am Yisrael Ki'ish Echad B'Leiv Echad, of one individual Israel which marches out of Egypt. Then Iyar is Pesach Sheni, the second Pesach, which for only for individuals, not for Am Yisrael, people who couldn't make the first Pesach and were left out, have a second chance. A second chance. And that second chance is Pesach Sheni. And the chance for the individual to make up what he lost. Am Yisrael already marched ahead with the Pesach Rishon, the first Pesach, but now each individual who's left out, sometimes, unfortunately, from Am Yisrael, has a second chance to make it up. This is Pesach Sheni. It's the Pesach of the Yachid. Iyar is the month of the Yachid, of the individual. And finally, we come to Sivan. And Sivan is Matan Torah for Am Yisrael and for the individual together. A combination, a double Matan Torah. And we could say, Rabotai, this I heard from Rav Soloveitchik, the Rav, that Matan Torah of Sivan, which is a double Matan Torah, Torah for the Am Yisrael and Torah for the individual of every Jew in Israel, it has a double layer. It's Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh. The Torah Shebichsav is for Am Yisrael. So we say this blessing, Ashebochabon, Mukhamnoslan, as Torah, and we get up and you read the Torah B'tzibur, you read the Torah in the Shul for Am Yisrael. It's a Matan Torah. Torah Shebichsav, a Sefer Torah given to the Knesset Yisrael, to the Jewish collective. And then there's a Torah Shebal Peh. There's an individual study of Torah, which each Torah scholar delves and thinks and creates and works as an individual with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, with the Jewish God of Israel who gave us the Torah. And as a Yachid, as an individual, he develops the Torah Shebal Peh. And this is the bracha we say in the morning, that every person should be busy and delve and consume himself with the study of Torah Shebal Peh, the oral Torah. And this is Sivan, and this is Shavuos, and this is the resolution of the two. And therefore, Shem Shmuel explains the special day of Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer is two-thirds through the Sefirah. Sefirah is almost 49 days. So every 16 days, in a bit, is approximately one-third through. You get to Lag BaOmer, day 33. You're already beginning the last third. The night, the Gemara says, has three Ashmores, three watches of angels. The night is divided into, let's say, a 12-hour night, has 4 hours, 4 hours, another 4 hours. And the angels switch, the guard, switching of the guard in heaven, so to speak. The last third of the night, the Ashmor Achrona, the last third of the night includes within it the crack of dawn. Light. Light begins to come into the world. And then, of course, the sun rises. And that's the end of the third, that last third. Pitch blackness is turning into daytime. So if there's a resolution between the klal and the prat, whether we say the students of Rebbe Kiva died because they had too much of an individuality, the first pshat, too much prat, as we explained, because of the Torah scholarship, or we say that they had too much of the klal, the second pshat, too much of the klal Yisrael, not enough of the individuality because of the teaching of Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha, which they misinterpreted. When it came to Lag BaOmer, which was one third left, the last third, pitch darkness of whatever their sin was, now got a little bit of light from Shavuos. And Shavuos is the resolution of the klal and the prat. Shavuos is the combination of klal and prat, of national and individual, of Am Yisrael with each yachid, the Jewish people with each individual part of Israel. That's what Shavuos is. It's that combination. And that's why in the astrological star system, the sign of the mazel, sign of Shavuos, of Chag Shavuos, of Sivan, is two omen, twins. What are the twins? Am Yisrael and individual Jew. That's are the twins. Am Yisrael and individual Jew. We have to realize that we're part of an Am Yisrael. It's Ish Echad Balev Echad. And I and you are one. You and I are one. We're also individuals. We're din of a prat. We have to give kavod zelazeh as individuals. And my dear friends, this powerful message of the Shem Shmuel, he explains the deaths of Rebbe Kiva's students. And then Lag BaOmer, he says, which is the last third, and the light of Shavuos is coming into the world, they got it. Then the students of Rebbe Kiva got the message that there's a combination. It's a combination of prat and klal. And they got it right. They got the right balance between the individual, the prat, and the klal, the collective. This happened to Koach of Shavuos. Something maybe they should have known earlier. But for some reason, they just didn't get it. But when Shavuos came that particular year, and it came in the beginning of the third, last third of Sefirah, the crack of dawn, the last third, the Lag BaOmer, they got it, and the plague stopped. So my dear friends, what a message, not just in terms of this question of giving kavod, but in every aspect of interhuman relations, especially among our Jewish people. We are klal, we are prat, we are a single collective, but we're also individuals. This is the paradox of being Jewish. And we have to function with the correct balance. In my defense, I want to bring a point. I like to always talk a little bit about family. And I think this is certainly a critical element in Shalom Bayis, in a good relationship between husband and wife. In many ways, husband and wife is Ish Echad, Belev Echad. It's one individual, one heart, one being, one entity. In fact, Halacha says, Ishta Kagufa, man and wife are one guf, according to Halacha, the one body, affects many, many dinim. They're not two people, it's one person. In fact, according to Hasidus, the two parts of the same soul, which are split in heaven and reunited in holy marriage. So Ish Echad, Belev Echad, we're one. And being one is very powerful. It can also mean that we don't give enough cover, enough honor to one another, because we're one. Do I honor my legs? Do I honor my eyes? I take it for granted sometimes. Ish echad, belev echad. We also have to realize that man and wife, which are a microcosm of Am Yisrael and Kodesh Baruch Hu, represent God and Israel, then man and wife are also two individuals. Each one is separate. Each one deserves honor. Each one has their own contribution, unique contribution to make to the family and to the world. So my dear friends, as we go through life, especially in our families, let us hopefully with Hashem Mizbarach, with God's help, discover and achieve that correct balance of Prat and Klal, of individual and collective. Let us be zoche to be able to give kavod zeh lazeh, to recognize each other Jew or Jewess's individuality and specialness, at the same time to be together as ish echad, belev echad, one person united with one heart and body dedicated to serve Hashem, to bring Mashiach, b'mehera v'yameinu. Amen.